Few people can say they've tamed Mount Panorama, but this man certainly has.
Owned it.
And in doing so, he forever etched his name into Australian motor racing folklore. Jim Richards is a seven-time Bathurst champion. He's a member of the Supercars Hall of Fame, and he joins us as we count down to Sunday's Bathurst 1000. Jim, a big welcome to SEN.
Thank you very much. No, great to be on the show.
Hey, this time of the year, on the eve of Bathurst, pretty
Jim's
much,
time.
Does it get the blood pumping a bit, Jim? Does it stir you up inside? Not really.
Not after the amount of I've been up there. I think 47 years in a row I've been to Bathurst, so I'm just really, really looking forward to it, but I'm looking forward to it in my lounge. Over a nice cup of tea or maybe something a bit stronger, who knows?
Well, you have earned it. So I was going to ask you if there was any part of you at 74 years young that misses it.
No, not really. No, I sort of retired very quietly a couple of years ago during COVID, and I'm just laying back, drifting into the landscape and just enjoying it.
What's the secret, Jim? What's the secret to winning Bathurst? Because clearly you mastered it, seven-time winner, as we said earlier. It just can't be sheer speed. There must be more to it than that.
No, listen, you need to have... to be honest, you need to be in the right team. You need to have the right co-driver. And you need to be well budgeted to pay for the best equipment and the best guys working for the team. I mean, it's the old cliche, it's a team effort, it's not just the driver. I've been lucky enough to be able to go into all the teams I drove for, and those seven wins were probably the best teams at the time. So, to get to that point, you've got to be recognised as a reasonable driver.
Speaking of secrets, Jim, we were talking about this before.
Before
you jumped on the line, I think the forecast is okay for Sunday. There's been obviously a heck of a lot of rain around the country. Now, you were known as the Rainmaster, or I think in some circles, the web-footed Kiwi. What was the secret for you to wet weather driving?
Well, I had a very, very simple way of going about it. I was often asked, what's the secret? And I say, well, listen, all you do is you think it's a dry track and it's a bit slipperier.
Fair enough. Hey, it's a kiss principle.
Because basically, I don't know why I go good in the wet. It's just I enjoy driving whether it's wet or dry, and I think you just got to make the best of any situation, you know.
Jim, I just wonder whether you're like the rest of us and you flick the TV on the weekend and you hope for it to be wet, or do you hope for it to be dry? What do you hope for as a former driver, someone who knows the mountain and knows what to expect? What do you want to see? What sort of challenge?
No, well, listen, I want to see a good dry race because more teams come into it then, rather than sort of relying on a result through the rain and the mist and the fog down Conrad. I mean, I can't think of anything worse now than going down Conrad straight at 290 kilometres an hour and you can't see a foot in front of you.
How do you, I just want to ask this lateral one if I can. How do you go just driving A to B around town
after
having
that
to stick to 40 k's an hour, 60 k's an hour? How do you adjust to just normal driving after having done what you've done?
Well, it's just real easy. I got my thrills in New Zealand growing up when you got your license at the age of 15. And, of course, young 15-year-olds got into all sorts of trouble in those days. So nowadays I'm very, very set to cruise control and, cruise along and let people pass me and don't worry about chasing them and passing them back like you do on the track. So, no, it's very easy.
Jim, of the seven, and I know I think the first three, you might have been a co-driver with the late and great Peter Brock. Is there one that stands out above the others for whatever particular reason of the seven that you perhaps hold most dear all these years on?
To be honest, no. I mean, the first three with Brocky, I didn't see the team at all during the year until, one date in October that we went to Bathurst. So I was a part of the team, but basically I was brought in to do a job, naturally, Pete, of the driving duties when he'd driven far enough. And it's just, crikey, I think that probably the most pleasing one was 2002, but it was the one that I didn't drive that well. There was Mark Scope and I drove that race together in his team. But he was up for the championship. If he finished the race with some good points, he won the championship. And, of course, we're trying to win Bathurst. So the co-driver doesn't want to do anything wrong in that situation. So I didn't drive as well as I could have, I thought, but at least we got home in one piece and won the race. So the 2002 was okay because it was a 10-year gap between when we last won it and when we won it in 2002. So that would never happen again. Co-drivers now and drivers are all guys, you know, under 20, well, under 30. When I won the 2002, I was 56.
Jeez.
Mm.
It doesn't happen these days.
No, 56, that's a good effort, isn't it? Who do you like this year? I mean, we've got Van Gisbergen and Wingcup. These sorts of guys are considered favourites. Where do you sit?
Well, I think I'm a bit the same. I think there's two teams that can be favourites, and that's Red Bull and Shell. But I'd love to see a wild card, like something like Erebus or someone jump out of the woodwork, because these days we're seeing young drivers in the race that a lot of people have never heard of. Mm. So they've got to get used to the fact that the old heroes are sort of fading away a little bit, and the youngsters are coming over and taking on, like it was when I was running. I was a youngster.
Jim, can we talk about, I mean, you referenced 2002 and the 10-year gap. Do you mind if we talk about 1992 and that winner's speech when you weren't exactly celebrated by the masses?
Yeah, sure, no problem. It's quite memorable.
It's become an infamous part of Australian motor racing history, hasn't it?
Memorable.
You didn't hold back.
Well, it's good to be remembered for something, isn't it?
For those that aren't aware, obviously we spoke about weather earlier, and weather intervened heavily, and there were a lot of casualties on the day, and crashes and cars off the road and so forth. What actually happened, and what caused that sort of controversy at the time?
Well, basically it was wet and dry all day, and the last I can't remember what lap it was on, to be honest, but we came around the circuit and we were leading. And we could see it was going to start raining, and it started to spit. And so I got a message from the pit, come in now, change tyres. And as I was coming down the straight, Neil Crompton was in the other GTR, and he was in front, but he was nearly a lap behind. And as we came down to pit road, I got a message, do another lap. Crompton's come in the pits, do another lap. So then I had to keep going on the slicks and do another lap, because Cromo was in there getting tyres when he wasn't told to. And so on that lap that I had to go around, there was an absolute deluge on top of the hill, and I clipped the concrete wall where Dick hit the rock and ripped a wheel off it. So and then we went down towards Conrad, and of course then slithered into the bank and got trapped with a whole lot of cars that were crashed there. So anyway, the race was stopped, and of course when the red flag comes out where the race is stopped, the result goes back to the last lap that all the cars passed the start finish line, and of course that was us, but we never made the next lap, and that's the regulations, and I didn't even know those regulations at the time, so I thought that I'd bugger the whole thing up and crashed and everything. So anyway, when we got down to the pit box, I said, we won the race. And of course, I recognised then what the rules were. But then when we got on the dais, of course, when you're on the dais, third place goes out first, then second place, and then the winners go out last. But by the time the presentation got round to us, which was we were last on the dais, of course, Dick Johnson had revved the crowd up and how crooked it was that he got beaten by a car that was crashed, couldn't get past the start finish, all these sort of things. And so when I went out, there was cans being thrown and all sorts. I mean, it was really funny looking back on it, to be honest.
Yeah, you can laugh about it now, I suppose.
Yeah, no, exactly. So when it came our turn to talk on the microphone, I just basically said that they're all a pack of assholes, and I'll be okay and keep going. But I didn't think that their they were very respectful of the winners.
Well, you would have been a percentage correct, Jim. Anyway, let's be honest. You would have been, we're not sure what sort of percentage, but you would have been a percentage correct.
No, exactly.
Yeah, my favourite was when Gary Wilkinson, the MC, Jim tried to defuse the situation, said you could maybe you could cool the crowd down with it with champagne bath. You just said, I wouldn't bother.
Well, exactly. Well, and that was 1992. Well, then, of course, in 2002, they asked me what I think of the crowd now. I said, they're very, very nice people.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Jim, just a quick one on what we saw yesterday. There was a big crash up there yesterday.
Super 2.
Young Declan Fraser, his wheel nut come off. How scary would that be to lose just total control of your car at the top of the hill there?
No, that would be a thing that you'd rather not happen, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen it?
No, not yet. No, okay. I've taped everything and... I was on the TV yesterday looking at my son Steve and his son Clayton are both racing in the Toyota 86 series. So I was keen to have a look at that and see how the boys were going.
I'm glad you mentioned Steve, Jim, because gee, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. There, he's a five-time winner himself.
Yeah.
No, exactly. No, he has made a fantastic career out of racing and. He's basically not retired, but he's not driving about supercars anymore.
Hey, can I just ask before we let you go, Jim, what car do you drive at the moment? There was someone texting in earlier asking if you've still got your black and gold JPS-sponsored BMW. It's been the greatest-looking car ever to hit bitumen. It was stunning, and it was quick. That's from Chris up in Batemans Bay.
No, yes, I've still got one of them. In the championship year, 1987, I drove two cars. In the championships, sort of the start of the series, I drove one car, then it was sold, and I got a brand new car. So I've still got one of those cars, but I didn't own it at the time. I bought it back, like years and years and years after, and restored it back to the original.
Jeez. Magnificent, Jim. It's so great to have you on the line. What a magnificent career you had, and you can kick back in absolute comfort, as you say now, and put the feet up. You've earned it. And watch the race on Sunday. Appreciate having your time today and your insights. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Thanks, boys.